Pacifico, Phil Hendry. And now, Art Bell, Ghost to Ghost. If you're west of the Rockies, you're with the cool people. If you're east of the Rockies, you're not. If you're south of the Rockies, stay there. And if you're north of the Rockies, ditto. And now, live from the wide open spaces of the great western United States, in the arid reaches of the western desert, the arid Colorado reaches, here's Art Bell.
And a very, very pleasant good evening. This is Art Bell filling in for Phil Hendry. And I know that it's probably very unusual for you to be hearing me doing fill-in. But as you probably know or have noted, this is a celebrity voice being impersonated. You don't need to know by who. But I can tell you a celebrity voice impersonated there. We are legally covered now, as we do this hour of the Art Bell Show, filling in on the Phil Hendry Show. And the only reason why I would fill in on the Phil Hendry Show is, as you probably have heard, I'm a very big fan of Phil Hendry's. Now, I know that Phil has been a bit, off the radar, but then again, so have I. And I'd love to say that Phil and I have been playing cards in the same parallel dimension or in some other cube of the universe that has been bisected or quadrisected or even quintersected, but I haven't seen Phil in any of the places that I have usually been haunting here over these last few years as I have been spacing in and out of retirement. Nonetheless, it is great to be with you, and we do have a full show for you this evening. And it's going to be an exciting show to be a part of, because we're going to be talking about some phenomena that I've not yet talked about at great length here on Coast to Coast with Art Bell. I know that Ross Mitchell has not heard me, and I didn't acknowledge Ross. Thank you very much, Ross, for a great introduction. And I also didn't say to all of you, wherever you are, all across these continents that cover the spaces that we call the planet Earth, but that has indeed, galactically, a completely different name. As you know, it's probably been referred to by some civilizations as the prison planet. And there are those that call our planet Tagua. We call it Earth, but that's meaningless because we're the only ones that do call it Earth. But I'll be back with so much more to talk to you about on this evening's shows. But first, this word from Peenemann Enterprises. You know, when the apocalypse does finally happen, the Earth will be roamed, by and large, by motorcycle gangs and other kinds of fiends and other kinds of animals that are taking your wives, your children, selling them on the open market as slaves and taking whatever they can and using that money to buy dope. Well, now you can get in on the ground floor of the post-apocalyptic dope dealing. If your wife and kids are sold, what's going to happen to you? You won't have a wife, you won't have a kid, you won't have any money, but guess what? You can sell dope to those road warriors and those bikers and those ne'er-do-wells and those nefarious degenerate individuals who have sold your wife and kids on the open market and the white slave market, and now they have money and now they want to buy dope. Sent away for our Peenemann Enterprises new out-in-the-open post-apocalyptic lab, a meth lab that you can create for yourself in a cave. That's right, meth labs in a cave, or a meth lab perhaps in a cavern someplace, or just a mobile meth lab that you set up while you are being abducted by aliens or abducted by other kinds of individuals and being taken across state lines or country lines and sold yourself into white slavery. What are you going to do for money? We suggest you continue the grand tradition of dealing dope from Peenemann Enterprises. Now, folks, we're going to have here on our show Wizard Pink, and I haven't spoken to Dr. Wizard Pink in quite some time. And we're going to get him on the air here to talk a little bit about a phenomenon that we've been wanting to discuss and haven't really had the time, and that is the sinkholes that you've been reading so much about. Now, you know that these sinkholes, they open up and they suck everything in that's above ground. Well, there's nothing that could possibly be more nefarious, nothing that could be more symbolic of what is happening to the very earth we live on, the very universe we live in, the very galaxy that we live on top of, the very brain that we live outside of, the very dimension that we live in a corpus delecti, and so on and so forth. And so Dr. Wizard Pink will be my very special guest right after this from Piedmont Enterprises. Now, friends, you love to smoke cigarettes. I know a lot of you like to smoke all kinds of tobacco. Tobacco is great. It's a great way to relax. But what are you going to do after the apocalypse, and there is no tobacco, there's no one that is going to be growing the tobacco, there'll be no way of harvesting the tobacco. Slavery will be back. That's right, slavery. And now, new from Piedmont Enterprises, get in on the ground floor of the slave trade. You will be given a full booklet, fact sheet on how to trade slaves, where to go to get them, what color they need to be, and so on and so forth. No, they don't necessarily have to be black anymore in the post-apocalyptic world. You will need people to work those fields. You will need people to work the tobacco fields and the tobacco fields back home. When I was a little bitty baby, my mama used to rock me in the cradle in that old cotton field back home. You know the songs. New from Piedmont Enterprises. Now, as I was saying, Dr. Wizard Pink will be with us. We'll also have General Johnson Jameson, and I know that you all enjoy General Johnson Jameson immensely. Some of you enjoy him more than I'm comfortable with. General Jameson keeps me updated. He sends me emails. He sends me text messages. In fact, he texts me almost as if he's a 13-year-old girl with all of these little texts like, "Hi, Art, how are you? What are you doing tonight?" General Jameson and I are in close contact, and he tells me a lot of you are in contact with him. You want to know what his experimentations are, and he is looking into the invisible children phenomenon that we've been talking to you so much about, and we're going to be getting into that tonight. We're going to be getting into that very, very carefully tonight, but first this word from Piedmont Enterprises. You know, folks, after the apocalypse, will you still believe in Jesus, Buddha? Will you believe in Muhammad? Will you believe in any deity? Of course you won't, but you will need a deity. How about making yourself the deity? The Piedmont Enterprise Do-It-Yourself Deity Kit, new from Piedmont Enterprises, can be yours, but you have to send away for yours by sending away to Piedmont Enterprises before the end of the world and get your Do-It-Yourself Deity Kit. Everything you need to sell yourself to some dumb, poor clod walking down the road who has nothing left and needs to throw all of his belief and throw himself on the mercy of a religion, you can be that deity, you can be that son of man, that son of God, or just God himself, new from Piedmont Enterprises. Now, another guy that we're going to have on the program tonight, yes, we're going to have on the program tonight an Art Bell first, a ghost to ghost burst, and the individual that we will have on this program this evening, and we'll ask very point blank whether or not this individual plans on coming to the table on doing its or his or her or whatever it is job this year. We will have on the program to ask point blank that individual to make sure that we know what that person's going to do this year. Are they going to come to the table and do the thing that they're supposed to do, because they've been doing it for a long time and who knows what's going to happen? The Easter Bunny. That's right. Only Art Bell, only I have the connections and the contacts. Only I have the press agent. Only I have the inside people who can get to and convince the Easter Bunny to come on my program for a first ever broadcast interview. Never before done. Never, it's, believe me when I tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. The Easter Bunny tonight on Coast to Coast here with Art Bell. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a very quick break and come back with the first of our guests this evening, Dr. Wizard Pink, on the sinkhole phenomenon that has, if you'll pardon the expression, swallowed up so much of the conversation here over the last few weeks. I'm Art Bell.
Ghost to Ghost with Art Bell will be right back. But first, these messages on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Celebrity voice impersonated.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here on this another Coast to Coast. I'm Art Bell, filling in here for Phil Hendry, and very, very, very happy to do so, as We will be exploring some topics here this evening that I think you'll find fascinating. And many topics that we do explore here on Coast to Coast with me, Art Bell. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't take these lightly. We don't sit here and very skeptically look at these. We investigate, and we bring you what we feel are the facts. And if the facts take us to places that are quite frightening, that are quite abnormal, aberrant, if you will, if they take us to exotic places where we are forced into exotic and aberrant acts that may actually sicken some of you, then so be it. If I, Art Bell, am forced to go into areas with, for instance, as I did, General Johnson Jameson on that fateful night that we were outside of Area 51 drinking red wine, both of us passing out after having been, as I feel, and General Jameson does concur, struck with a paralyzing ray from inside Area 51, forcing us to, if you'll pardon the expression, couple, having had two bottles of Red Mountain wine, as they call it, Red Eye, two huge jugs, then so be it. If I have to talk to the Easter Bunny, go into a sinkhole, look up my dead grandfather, talk to a spirit that's been dead for thousands of years and never did really live on the planet Earth anyway, so be it. That's what our program is about here on the Art Bell Show. Again, celebrity voice impersonated. Can you imagine someone actually believing this is Art Bell? That would be very, very funny indeed. However, I want to bring on now Wizard Pink, Dr. Wizard Pink, who has done a great deal of work. And Dr. Pink, it's so wonderful to have you with us. I can't tell you how excited I am, given the fact that we have had these sinkholes, and I know that there is going to be more discussion than ever before on what they mean, where we're going, why they're there, why you're here, why I'm here, why all of this, why OU, and why. And Dr. Wizard Pink, how are you?
Well, I'm very good, Art, and I can't tell you, this has been a tough week, a very tough week indeed.
Dr. Pink, looking at sinkholes as we understand the sinkhole, it is a depression, obviously.
Well, yes, it's a depression in the soil, and the soil will give way, and then everything goes in, everything. There's nothing saved, and I don't want to comment any further than that. But I am planning an expedition, which should take place within a fortnight.
And just so people know, Dr. Pink, what is a fortnight?
What is a fortnight? A fortnight is, I don't know. It sounds very soon. That's why I wanted to use the term, Art.
All right. We'll be looking up fortnight. I believe it is 2 weeks. Am I correct in assuming it's 2 weeks? I'm talking now to Banjo Jimmy, who is also engineering. It is 2 weeks. It's 2 weeks, Dr. Pink.
All right, Art. Then it's two weeks it is, and we will delve deep into the cavity of creation, as I call it, which is the sinkhole outside of Begonia, Louisiana, is the one we've picked.
Now, these sinkholes, a doctor, correct?
Yes, I'm a doctor. Did you want to say astronaut or something?
No, I'm sorry. I was going to say professor.
No. Professor means I teach people, and I wouldn't go near an institution of higher learning any more, Art, because I think they're all engaged in the active solicitation of mind deterioration, mind melding, and the Vulcan mind meld. I won't crawl anywhere near that. And that's what you'd have to do to go near an institution of higher education in this country. You'd have to crawl on your belly if you want to remain a man. Crawl on your belly. Oh.
Well, all right, Dr. Ping, I certainly don't want to do anything to get you further upset.
Oh, it's all right.
But I would say that you are a doctor and not a professor, so we've made that very, very clear.
Thank you.
Dr. Wizard Pink joins us here on the Art Bell Coast to Coast Show as we talk about the sinkhole phenomenon and what exactly is causing this. Now, I know you have an expedition that you'll be going into Sinkhole 4 near Begonia, Louisiana, and that will be within 2 weeks, correct?
That is correct, Art. And when I go down into Sinkhole 4, I will have on the infrared, and I'll have on the goggles. These are specific for the cavity of creation. They are the cavity of creation goggles. And I will look, and I will hope and I will pray that when I see it, I will be able to talk it out of doing what it's doing.
And who is it, or...
That's not a who, it's a what. And I don't think you can even think of it as an entity so much as it is a force that can be talked to. It would be as if we were able to talk to electricity.
That is amazing, and that is what is causing... What do you call it?
Well, right now we have no name for it. Dr. Wellington and I had been playing chess and talking of what do you want to call it, and he said, just give it a name, just give it a name. He wanted to call it El Diablo, and I said to him, get serious, will you?
But what's wrong with El Diablo? It sounds very evil.
Well, it sounds religious, El Diablo, and so I said, okay, why don't we call it Lionel Richie?
And why would you call it that?
Because that's as silly as El Diablo, or El Diablo. So I said we need to call it the force to which one may address one's misgivings, but not consider it something that you can be friends with, or... You see what I'm getting at, Art?
Well, I understand, Dr. Pink, that whatever is causing the sinkholes in your mind is a force that is subterranean?
Yes, most assuredly.
And is living, but not exactly sentient.
It is living, and it's intelligent, but it's not sentient.
Living, but intelligent. When you go into sinkhole 4 in Begonia, now, what do you anticipate will happen?
Well, what I anticipate will happen is that first we have to get the sinkhole to react. Now, hold on for just a minute. Hold on for just a minute. What's happening to the floor? What's happening to the floor? The floor is beginning, okay, this is exactly what I hoped would happen. This is great. Art, this is wonderful. This is what I hoped would happen.
Now, what, Dr. Pink?
It's okay. When I began to talk about the entity, I knew it would get angry and want to find me and kick my ass. And I told it. I told it. Come at me. I told it. If you're going to come at anyone, come at me.
So you're throwing your own life in front of this power.
I have to, Art. I don't anticipate dying. I just anticipate. Yeah, that's it. Go ahead. Come on. Come and get me.
Now, what are you feeling?
I'm feeling the ground is quivering noticeably, and I know that the linoleum here in my kitchen will give way, Art. And I want to say before I am sucked down to meet that which can be spoken to but not necessarily befriended, I want to say I thank you for the help. And if we get down there and talk to it, we can stop these sinkholes. The ground is shaking. Okay, coming in right now is Dennis Griever, one of my assistants. What do you got, Dennis?
I think they're jackhammering the street.
They're jackhammering the street. Okay, yeah, the shaking did stop. Well, that's interesting.
All right, so you're not being sucked down by the entity.
No, and you don't have to rub it in.
Well, I'm not trying to rub it in, Dr. Pink. I'm simply asking, are you all right?
I would have been all right had the entity sucked me down. And I said the word down, not the three-letter word that starts with O and ends with F that you warned me not to say. I didn't say that.
I just asked you if you were going to say the word suck, that the next word not be that word.
That's right. I said suck down.
All right.
Okay, is that it? Or do you want to keep humiliating me?
Well, Dr. Pink, I wasn't here to humiliate you at all. I was here to ask you the particulars of your trip to the underworld, and you seem to indicate that perhaps the thing that cannot be reasoned with, but...
No, Bell. It's the thing that can't be... The thing you can communicate with, but you can't befriend.
Which is controlling the sinkholes from the subterranean region just below the Earth's crust. Is that correct?
Yes. And that's what I thought was happening, and Griever came in and said, a guy's jackhammering the street, and so no, you know.
All right. Well, Dr. Pink, I'd like to stay in touch with you this evening, in case you feel any other...
No, don't. You're not going to use me as some, you know...
I don't want to make fun of you. I'd like to stay in touch with you, though, as we continue monitoring that which cannot be...
That which you can talk to... Art, I'm going to Art, let me just sit down and get some soup into me. I want to get some soup into me, and I want to take my shoes off. But I've been on my feet all day.
All right. Dr. Wizard Pink, ladies and gentlemen. And we'll be back with more here from Coast to Coast with Art Bell, filling in for Phil Henry, celebrity voice impersonated. And for these very important messages, we also have the Easter Bunny. What did I say? I said the Easter Bunnet. We have the Easter Bunny, the Easter Bonnet, the Easter... I'm reading the word boner. Is that correct? All right. All of those and more on Coast to Coast
Phil
with Art Bell.
Henry.
Well, you said a dirty word, yeah?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, here to Coast to Coast with Art Bell. We are going to be joined here in a moment by General Johnson Jameson and a phenomenon that I did not know existed. I can tell you right now, it's one of the most interesting phenomenon and quite possibly one of the scariest that we have ever investigated here on Coast to Coast with Art Bell. I'm Art Bell. No, not really. It's a celebrity voice impersonated, filling in for Phil Henry. And you know, Phil has been taking a few days off. He is traveling and is taking in the sights, some of them, the pyramids, the Yucatan pyramids of the Mayan civilization. Phil is going to file a report with us later on that. And is also traveling to an ancient burial ground of the Maccabean people. And these, a diminutive people that were no larger than the size of a quarter hen, living in the foothills surrounding the Mocava Valley, which was where the origination of so much of pottery, cooking classes, automobiles, and these different things. I think driver training originated there as well. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast. But first, this from Piedmont Enterprises. You know, friends, Piedmont Enterprises has been at it for many, many years, selling you things you'll never need. Oh, sure, you will need them once the world ends, or Earth ends, or the civilization ends, or whatever it is that they at Piedmont Enterprises envision. In fact, they don't even know. They think it's just something that you know. But while you are worrying about the end of the world, be assured and rest assured that Piedmont Enterprises is developing every kind of cockamamie invention that can possibly be invented so that you'll have it there with you after everything goes to hell in a handcart. Won't you need money? Sure you will. When all the computers are down, what are you going to use for money? You need a new cash card. Get the new Piedmont Enterprises post-apocalyptic cash card. It works on any cash machine still standing. All you do is take it, it's shaped like a hammer, smash the thing open in the front, and there it is, all the cash that's left in the cash machine. Call it your post-apocalyptic cash card. Looks like a hammer, looks like a ball-peen hammer, but works exactly like a cash card, except you're not putting it in a slot, you're just smashing the thing into oblivion and grabbing whatever cash and change is in there. Probably not change, just cash. New from Piedmont Enterprises. And, back here with Coast to Coast Art Bell. Don't forget our number here on Art Bell is 1-888-888-888-888-888 Mystery Alien Planet Liquid Being. That's 1-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888- has a longtime friend here at Coast to Coast, Don Bell, and it's General Johnson Jameson. General Jameson, how are you?
Art, I'm doing very well, thank you. It's great to hear you. I love George Norrie. He's a wonderful man. But I just need to be rooted by you. Your voice, your calming voice, there's so much happening.
What is going on these days? I feel that what you and I, General Jameson, I should say...
Well, I wish I was a doctor. If I was a doctor, I could cure so many of the ailments. You know, the one ailment that I have that I don't want to get into, but I could cure that. I could cure the other ailment I don't want to get into. All of these below the waist.
You would be able to help yourself. These are things you've been complaining about for quite some time.
Yes, and I hope I'm not a bore, but...
Well, when you come to my home and I'm right in the middle of breakfast...
I understand that, Art, and I'll try to stop doing doing that, I get that it can be a little bit disgusting. But what I'm here to tell you is that I've got ailments. I wish I was a doctor. Can we move on to another topic now?
Yes. We are going to be talking, General Jameson, about the Invisibility Project that you've been engaged in.
Yes, the Invisibility Project. Thank you, Art. The Invisibility Project came about as the result of my having breakfast one morning with my eldest children, Warren Teen and Glenda. And I say I was having breakfast with my eldest children because, as you know, my younger children are fed by the nutrient scope. That is a device that I developed so that the children would be fed, washed, bathed, could play, could be dressed, and could have their imagination stimulated all by a tube leading from a large nutrient capsule that can... Are you understanding?
No, I'm not, General Jameson.
I didn't think you were. I always do this. I start in and no one gets it. And I lose half the audience. I'll go back and I'll look for a book and I'll go back to the lectern and half the hall is cleared out.
Well, I think, General Jameson, much of what you talk about is very important.
Yeah, sure it is.
You don't believe so?
I think it's important, but people...
Well, let's talk about the Invisibility Project, shall we?
Yeah, sure. The Invisibility...
But what makes you so cynical about it?
Well, I don't think people are going to act, and we've got to act. We've got to act now, Art. Now, I'm here in my bunker complex below the Saskatchewan crust, and I have with me, Igor Slidell, who's been with me for years. Igor, do you have the equations pumped in?
Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah!
All right. Igor is still, as you know, a stimulant freak. He's an addict par excellence of...
I know that Igor got into the... Originally, was a methadrine addict. Is that true?
Say that again?
I understand that Igor mainly methadrine addict, right?
Okay, it sounded like you said, that's what it sounded like.
Right.
Yes, the answer is yes.
All right, and he has not really cured himself of that.
No, you don't usually cure yourself. You go to a doctor. Wow.
Well, that's what I mean. Did you take him to any kind of drug rehabilitation?
Igor, come over. Art Bell is...
Oh, hey, man, what's up? Art Bell, yeah.
Igor, question for you. Are you treating or are you having treated your methamphetamine stimuli addiction?
Oh, yeah!
That means he's not even conscious of your question. He's just... Enter in the figures, Igor. Enter in the facts and figures and go get yourself your shredded wheat or whatever you eat. In a moment, Art, we are going to enter in the nuclei, which should give us communication with the invisible children. Now, these children were discovered by me one morning as I was eating shredded wheat, as just as fate would have it, and one of them bumped into me.
Now, you say one of them bumped into you. How do you know it wasn't a poltergeist or some kind of a spirit?
No, I knew it wasn't a spirit because it was clumsy, and when I asked it, were you hungry, and it said, it indicated it was.
And how did it indicate that?
It tapped me on the back and then moved my bowl around. And I said, shredded wheat, and it didn't like it because I saw the shredded wheat was being eaten and then spit back up onto the table. And I asked, are you doing that on purpose or does it really taste bad? And that's when, and forgive me, but it reached down and squeezed my, I'll give you the syllables, my blank blank.
All right, I'm not exactly sure. Igor, ask Igor if he knows.
Igor knows, because what is blank blank?
Starts with an N, ends with an S. First word is three letters.
All right, General Jameson, I get the idea. It reached down and squeezed you in a place that it would be painful.
Yes, I took that to mean that it, don't ask so many questions, just give me something better for breakfast. So I made an omelet. I made it a Denver omelet. And that went down into the invisibility of the... you see what I'm saying, Art?
So you saw this, whoever this was, consuming something?
Yes.
Now, these are children, and you say that they are invisible children, and they are mute.
Yes, and that otherwise they would be able to tell me. But they got my attention one morning, as I say. While I was eating breakfast, they pushed me, and they pulled me, and they they started playing with my face, pulling my cheeks apart, making me look like an ass. And I was giving a paper that morning at something arena before the Intergalactic Federation of Knobnologists.
What? Say that again.
That's the Intergalactic Federation of Knobnologists.
And what do you study?
Wow. Are you kidding? Knobs.
Yeah, man.
All right. Knobs?
Yes. Breasts, okay?
Yeah.
I apologize, General Jameson. I apologize. So you were giving this paper. Then what?
Well, as I was giving the paper, Art, I noticed that I was having someone, I could feel little tiny fingers tugging on one corner of my mouth and then tugging on the other corner of my mouth and stretching it out so I looked like a jackass, you know. Have you ever done that?
I'm not exactly sure I know what you mean.
Well, just grab your cheeks and pull your face apart and stick your tongue out, and you look like a real clown. And that's what, excuse me, I'm coughing. While I'm giving this paper to the Knobnology Society on the further development of a knob, or not, but I'm a little nervous talking about it. It's really nobody's business but mine and the Knobnology Society.
I understand, but we're talking more about the invisible children.
That's correct, yes. Let's get off the ridiculous topic of knobnology and get into something serious like invisible kids. So as I was giving this paper, as I was giving this dissertation, I could feel my face beginning to stretch out, and it not only looked stupid, someone said to me that I looked like a real, just a jackball with my cheeks puffed out and my tongue hanging out. But also they said that I sounded stupid. I have a recording of it, Art, and I'd like to play it for you at this time.
All right, General Johnson Jameson has a recording of him addressing the Knobnology Society. And what city was this in?
I forget. I think it was either Chicago, or it was one of those cities. It was either Chicago or it was in Madagascar in the jungle. I can't remember, but they all run together. Here is the recording. Igor, you're going to have to get up recording for file 3, Invisible Children Face Stretch.
Yeah, man, I got to find out that day.
Yes, I understand that, but I need you to do it now. Igor has been monitoring the supplicant computer, which is going to interpret the invisibility of the children.
Are you going to try to make these children visible?
I'm going to try to talk to them first because they're mute. All right, here is the recording from the... hold on for just a moment. I had to put the phone down because I'm doing up my pants. Excuse me, Art, I shouldn't say this, but I was in taking a dump and...
While you were talking to us, I have to say, General Jameson, I couldn't tell. You were being very communicative and quite articulate.
Well, thank you, but at some point you're going to know something's wrong because I got to put the phone down and do my pants up, so that's what I'm doing right now. All right, so Art, Igor.
Uh-huh.
Would you please get the tape? And this is, okay, here it is, Art, and this is me. As I was talking at this seminar, and Igor, go ahead and fire it off. And so, gentlemen, in conclusion,
when we talk about the thing, something pulling my face apart.
What's going on?
I don't know, gentlemen. This has been happening to me all morning. Hold on for a minute. Whoever you are, please don't pull
my face apart. Is it taking me some?
What are you doing? Are you trying to act like a clown or something?
No, I'm not, gentlemen. You don't understand. There are invisible children pulling my cheeks and basically bugging me all morning long. As I was saying,
is it done better? Is it done? Forget about it. Forget about it.
Shoot. All right, well, there you have it, Art. And God help me and all of us. We can't get this under control.
General Johnson Jameson is talking with us. We're going to have to take a break, General Jameson. That is a phenomenal story, one that I know will be quite interesting to investigate. As he talks about invisible children, and they've been pulling his face apart. They weren't pulling your face apart.
No, they weren't doing anything more than just stretching my cheeks out, and they were doing all kinds of stuff. They were pulling my pants down. They were setting fire to my shoes. They had set fire to all of my documents, all of my research material. Then they'd put a big hole in the ass end of my, excuse my French, by the butt part of my pants. They mussed my hair up. And they thought it was cute. I can tell you right now, to the invisible children that are listening to me, and only the invisible children that are listening to me, you're not cute at all. You're bugging me, and there's going to be a stop put to this. If I... Shoot.
What happened, General Jameson?
They poked me in the...
But man, they got you in the nuts!
Would you watch your language, Igor, and just go back to the nobulator?
All right, General Jameson, we are going to take a break. This is absolutely fantastically interesting and fascinating. As General Johnson Jameson will attempt to communicate with the invisible children that have been bedeviling him and be ducking and be bubbling everything that they're doing to him there at the laboratory in Saskatchewan. This is Art Bell's Coast to Coast Celebrity Voice Impersonator. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
What are they doing?
Phil Hendry Show.
Stop it now. Just making my case well, said.
World-famous...
This is Coast to Coast with Art Bell. From west of the Rockies, stay there. We'll come to you. East of the Rockies, try this. The first one's free. And now, Art Bell.
And thank you very much, Ross Mitchell. By the way, Ross, it's so good to see you, Ross. I appreciate it very much, you being here with us on Coast to Coast here with Art Bell. Now, we are... seconds away from talking to General Johnson Jameson about the invisibility factor and the invisibility project. Now, he had addressed the International Society of Nobologists, and he does have Igor there at the nobulator. And General Jameson, I am now going to reconnect with you. I know that you're having a situation there. All I heard was that there was some kind of general mayhem going on outside. What is going on?
Right, Art, right. You can hear it, Art, right now. As a group of people out here, I'm trying to calm them down. They're feeling the invisible children, as you know, Art. Please calm down, ladies and gentlemen. I'll explain. The ma'am, the hand you felt up your dress is an invisible boy.
Get out of here! You're some kind of a nut! Ever since you moved into this neighborhood, things have been going wrong!
Sir, please, don't allow the forces of bigotry and hate. I didn't do anything wrong. It's an invisible kid.
Yeah, an invisible kid, huh? What did you say last week?
Well, last week I explained it to you. It was the goblin juice I was developing.
Get out of here!
I gotta go back inside, Art. This is getting dangerous. God help me. God help us all. What is happening? Igor, slam that door shut and bolt it.
You got it, baby!
Yeah. Try and get in now, you fiends, you weirdos.
General Jameson, this is very, very serious.
Art, I can tell you that it's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. Don't get your underwear in a bunch, okay?
General Jameson, it sounds like you were almost attacked by a mob. And I will not have that here on the Art Bell Coast to Coast Show.
No, God forbid I get killed on the air. Wait till you go off the air, is that it?
No, I didn't say that, although it would be preferable, of course. I'm sure you understand.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll wait.
No. General Jameson, I am concerned. Are you saying that the invisible children are attacking people in the neighborhood?
One lady said she felt a hand going up her dress. And I said, that is probably the invisible child. Now, Igor was there. Igor, can you give me more information?
Yeah, that hand went up about day, man.
Okay, see?
How do you know, General Jameson, that it wasn't Igor?
No, it's not Igor. It was the kid. I'm telling you, it was an invisible kid. Why do you say Igor?
Got to be an invisible kid. I didn't do nothing.
See, Igor didn't do anything. It had to be an invisible kid. Let me ask you a question, Art. We've known each other for a long time. Of all the likelihoods of a woman standing there in a very thin, thin cotton dress and a hand going right up her panties, do you think it's Igor or an invisible kid? Well, I think we all know the answer.
All right, General Jameson, I'll go with you on that. It's an invisible kid.
That's right. Now, right now, see, I can feel it, see?
Yeah, hey! Get that.
What is that?
Put that pool cue.
Put the pool cues back. See, right there, a pool cue just went right up my... That's the invisible kid. All right, let's do the nobulator, and let's see if we can contact what's going on here. Nobulator. No, we'll try it one more time. I'm hoping that we contact at least one of these invisible punks and have them explain themselves, because I'm here to tell you, I can't take it anymore. I won't listen to it anymore. No. One more time. Wait a minute. I think I heard something, Art.
I did too, General Jameson. Now I hear a crowd of people.
They busted through the door. Igor, lock that door.
Hey, people got to get out of here.
We've got a crowd of people here in the laboratory. I've got to get them out. I just heard the voice of a little kid. Speak again, little kid.
Your mama.
All right, you people have got to get out of here. Get out, please, now. Igor, bolt the door. Open the gate to the moat. Have the alligator something. I don't know what we...
All right, General Jameson, we'll be back with you. I want to find out how he's doing there in the Saskatchewan crust, under the Saskatchewan crust, as he tries to keep crazed neighbors out of his laboratory, as he contacts invisible children and raises the gate on a moat.
Phil,
thank you.
Oh, you think I'm lying, huh?
Shores of El Pacifico, Bill Henry.
And now, Coast to Coast with Art Bell. If you're calling west of the Rockies, dial this number. Better turn your radio up. East of the Rockies, call. I wasn't saying anything. And the wild card line is... And now, here, Art Bell.
And thank you very much, Ross Mitchell. Very good. Thank you. You do have to speak up, though, on the phone number, because we have gotten some people that were asking, well, what is it that Ross is saying? And I know that you're giving out the number. I know the wild card line. We also have the wild line and the wild man line. And all of those will be getting their own phone numbers very, very shortly. Well, what a first hour we had here on Coast to Coast with Art Bell. By the way, this is a celebrity voice impersonated. And I'm filling in here on the Phil Hendry Show, for those of you not aware of that. And we had an hour to absolutely break all records for investigative journalism and for uncovering, I dare say, threats, immediate threats, to our own security and safety in this dimension. Now, as you know, we spoke with Dr. Wizard Pink, who is planning, within a fortnight, as he said, a journey into Sinkhole 4 in Belugia, Louisiana. We also spoke very briefly with General Johnson Jameson, as he talked to us about the invisible children that have been born within the last 50 years, invisible and mute children, who can only make their presence known by taking pool cues and literally assaulting adults with them in sensitive areas, areas where they can drive it home and break it off. Now this hour, we will be discussing with Steve Pike, the investigative journalist for England Now and Forever, the news magazine. We'll be talking with him about his investigation of some 10 years into the existence of the Easter Bunny. But first, this from Piedmont Enterprises. Friends, Piedmont Enterprises has been there for you, but are you there for them? Please spend liberally and spend often at Piedmont Enterprises. Is it the ass purse? Is it the chili maker? Is it the new way of trading slaves? Whatever it is, whatever you can do, please buy products from Piedmont Enterprises. They're trying to help you survive the apocalypse. How are you going to help them survive the apocalypse? Please pay in gold. That's right, gold will do it. Because the people at Piedmont Enterprises have no intention whatsoever of lifting a finger and actually working for a living. They are making these products, hoping that they work, sure, but if they don't, they'll be long gone after the apocalypse and the road warrior takes over and takes your wife and daughter and all the things we've already explained to you. Peenemann Enterprises has been here for you. Now, are you there for them? Peenemann Enterprises, make sure you spend liberally at Peenemann. Peenemann Enterprises. On Coast to Coast, we certainly want you to be aware of the fact we do have a website. And we'd like you to visit that website just as soon as I can remember the address. But until you visit that website, please visit this website, which is www.philhenryshow.com. That's www.philhenryshow.com. And you will be able to see and hear a wide variety of entertainment there at philhenryshow.com. I'm Art Bell. And as you know, I have been off the air and on the air and off the air intermittently. Tonight, we decided to come back on the air, and I told George, just take a powder. And George said, well, I have a whole show prepared. And I said, like I care. And I said, you on the street, everybody in his studio, get out. And Ross Mitchell and I came parading in here for all the world, sat down, took all of George's notes, all of the things that he brought with him, like his Yoo-Hoos and his Starbucks coffees, and pitched them into the street and use his notes liberally as toilet paper as we continue through the evening. I'm only kidding. Let's bring on Stephen Pike now, as we're going to be talking about the Easter Bunny. What is the Easter Bunny? Why is the Easter Bunny? And what has Stephen Pike been able to find out about the Easter Bunny? The Easter Bunny, of course, is on everyone's mind this time of year, Stephen. How about you?
Well, there's no question the Easter Bunny's been on my mind. I've been thinking of the Easter Bunny non-stop for the last 10 years. So, of course it's on my mind. It's not any more on my mind during the Easter season, though.
No, you're not thinking any more about the Easter Bunny during the Easter season than you are any other time of the year.
That is absolutely correct, because the Easter Bunny bedevils me. The Easter Bunny haunts my dreams. It haunts my very reality, and I haven't seen my family at stretches of up to 11 months sometimes.
So you are on the tail, and pardon the expression, but you are literally on the tail.
Of Peter Cottontail, yes, and I've heard all those jokes. But yes, I am, Art. I am literally, here comes Peter Cottontail hopping down the bunny trail. I use these as clues, but I have to say I don't suffer fools well. I was sitting in a Starbucks having a coffee not too long ago, and I heard someone who'd been reading my series in England Now, which is a weekly news magazine that I work for, and I heard them saying, here comes Peter Cottontail hopping down the bunny trail, hippity-hoppity-hippity, and I swung with a backhand the coffee mug that I was holding, and I broke it across their face. That's the pressure that I've been under.
My goodness, Stephen.
Yes, that's the pressure that I've been under.
Well, I can certainly understand that you're not going to have a lot of patience for imbeciles.
No, I don't have any patience for imbeciles. Not when we're talking about a threat, and a threat that is in the very least imminent, and quite possibly is something that is even more imminent than we think. I know, I don't know what Easter is, and I should know this, when the children, the lives of children, are at stake. At stake.
What are you talking about? The lives of children from the Easter Bunny?
What I've understood the Easter Bunny to say, and again, the Easter Bunny doesn't talk with me. I've had to eavesdrop as I have followed this creature through 5 continents, some 12 countries, 1,300, I don't know how many countries. Are there 5 continents, by the way?
Yes, there's more than 5 continents.
All right, so I've North America, South America, Europe, Asia, Australia.
Is Australia a continent? I'll have to check with General Johnson Jameson.
No, you don't have to check with General Johnson Jameson. It is a continent. Of course it's a continent. It's a country and it's a continent. All right, let's say Antarctica. There, are you happy?
I think I'd be more comfortable. So you followed the Easter Bunny through Antarctica, huh?
No, I haven't, but all right, let's say that I have. What of it?
Well, what is the Easter Bunny doing in Antarctica?
I don't know. Maybe he's chilling the egg salad down there. Get a load of you. Are you trying to...
I'm sorry, Stephen. It's been a very, very long show already, and we're not even half over with it. So tell me what it is you heard the Easter Bunny say. Were you eavesdropping?
I was able to tap his phones, and this is something that I'm very ambivalent about, because the Easter Bunny, whether or not he has the civil rights of a normal human being, I don't know. But I did tap his phone. I overheard him talking to another individual. I don't know who it was. Could have been a manager or a wife. Saying that if the children are not good this year, pull baby Katie bar the door. Now, I tried to figure out what he meant by Katie bar the door, and I saw some reading material on his coffee table.
Now, were you in the Easter Bunny's home?
As I was saying, I was not in his home, but I was doing a fair amount of eavesdropping, and I was also surreptitiously breaking into his residence when he was not there. And what I saw on his coffee table was the legend of Clamis or Clambake. I can't pronounce it properly, but it's a German legend that has it that if the children are not good on Easter or Christmas, if the children are good on Christmas, they are taken by Saint Nick or Clamcan or Clackety, I don't know what his name is, and he eats them. Well, the Easter Bunny is planning the same caper for our children. How about them apples? And I got that straight from the bunny's trap as he was talking on the phone.
That is an outrage.
Absolutely an outrage, Art, and we've got to do something about it.
Unfortunately, I don't have small children anymore, so I don't really care. But I will say good luck.
Well, thank you. But okay, so you're not going to help.
No, I'm not, but I certainly do feel your pain in that the Easter Bunny would want to eat the children.
Yes, cook them and eat them. This has gone beyond multicolored eggs and chocolate and this sort of thing, which, of course, was all well and good. But now the rabbit proposes to take a child, small child, put the child into some kind of a serving tray, some sort of a bread dish, cook that child up until medium pink or whatever. I don't know how rabbits eat their meat, do you? I have no idea how they eat their meat. Take the child out and consume the child because the child hasn't been good. I think it's outrageous, and something has to be done.
We're talking here with Stephen Pike, who is a writer for England Now and Forever, the weekly magazine, on the Easter Bunny's plans to eat your children if they're not good. Now, you can well imagine the scandal that would cause. I don't know, I'm not a reporter, I don't want to say, but I think it might be a real big deal. And we'll we are white, and we're not black, but we'll be back with more from Stephen White, Stephen Black,
My name is Stephen Pike.
Stephen Pike, that's right, from England Now magazine, right after these words here on Coast to Coast.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Sorry. We'll be right back. Celebrity voice impersonated.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And this is the Art Bell Coast to Coast Show, filling in for Phil Hendry this evening. I'm Art Bell, celebrity voice impersonated. And with us is Stephen Pike. And Mr. Pike is a writer for the British daily or weekly newspaper, rather, England Now and Forever. And he has been on the trail of the Easter Bunny. And quite a few of us would probably say, well, what's the big thing, the Easter Bunny, so on and so forth. We all know the Easter Bunny exists. On our program, Stephen, we do believe that the Easter Bunny exists, and we have no doubt of that. We do believe in extra-dimensional creatures, and we do believe in the power of said creatures.
Well, I think that's your constitutional right, as you call it, in your country. You can believe in anything you'd like, and I'm not here to necessarily disagree with that. What I am saying to you, though, is while you believe in your Easter Bunny, which I'm sure gives you great enjoyment, I am here to tell you, I'm here to warn you Americans, and I'm warning my own readers and warning our own government in Great Britain that the Easter Bunny has turned a corner. The Easter Bunny has taken it to another level, if you will. And this creature now proposes to, if the children have been bad little boys and girls...
Now, let me interrupt you right there. I thought that was the purview of Santa Claus.
The purview of Santa, I don't really think there's any agreement among these superhuman personages that we've invented for our children. I don't think there's any agreement. I think they'll do whatever they want to do. You know?
I understand, but Santa Claus was the one that kept them...
I understand what you're saying, Art, but it doesn't matter to Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny or whoever else is at the Tooth Fairy, whether you're good, bad... They're going to do what they're going to do.
So what you're telling me, Stephen, is that the Easter Bunny decides, well, I'll give candy to children that have been good, and I will eat the ones that have been bad, and Santa Claus be damned.
Well, I think that that's mostly the attitude, because the phone conversation that I overheard was rife with obscenities and was referencing Santa Claus quite liberally.
And you don't know who he was talking to?
No, I do not. No, I do not. I tried to listen carefully. I knew at that time that the Easter Bunny sensed that I was somewhere in the area. They get the sense of these, this bunny. I don't know. It frightens me.
So the Easter Bunny is going to eat, is going to kill and eat the children?
Yes. Yes. Are you understanding what I'm saying, Belle? The Easter Bunny's going to kill it? You don't care, do you?
No, as I said, I don't have children that are that small any longer. And so it doesn't affect me. Let's take some phone calls, though, because I'm sure there's going to be people that are very, very interested in this.
Well, I certainly can answer what I can answer, but I can't answer what I can't answer, and I won't answer what I do answer, but I will answer what I cannot answer. I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, it doesn't. You said you won't answer what you can answer.
Oh, I'm sorry. What I meant to say was I can answer what I can answer, and I can, and I can. That's Moulin Rouge, right?
Yes, that's got,
I'm sorry. I can answer what I can answer, and I'll do my best.
All right, let's go to a phone call here. We have Reggie calling from Toronto, Canada. Reggie, go ahead.
Hey, Art. Speaking to your guest, the Easter Bunny is a mythical creature. We know that. But the belief in the Easter Bunny is what gives him his power. Would you agree with that, sir?
Yes, I would very much agree with that. I think that the Easter Bunny gains quite a bit of his strength, if you will, his power, as you like to say, from the believability of his own believability, you see.
Right, right. Well, that's not a big, it's not a really big question. I don't need a big, long answer. I just wanted to know.
Well, I'm giving you a big, long answer, sir, because I've done quite a bit of investigation.
Well, that's fine, but I just, the primary thing I wanted to know is what I asked. Now, my next question would be this. If this thing is intent on eating our children, what are my rights?
Well, first of all, you have to understand that the child that the Easter Bunny wants to eat...
I know, it's got to be a bad child.
It has to be a bad child, yes.
Is there any brochure or anything that he's published to...
That I don't know. It's probably something that will be answered very quickly.
Well, would the Easter Bunny publish anything telling the parents what a bad child, what constitutes a bad child?
I think it would be quite sporting of him if he would.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing, as Art said. Is he going to do it, or is he just going to take our kids by surprise and say, well, you weren't good, and I'm going to eat you? And what do you mean, eat the kid? Where does he take them? Does he have a...
I think he has some kind of industrial kitchen.
An industrial kitchen?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, how in the hell... My question, does anybody know how the hell he got the equipment?
Well, he's not a normal... in other words, he lives in the supernatural world, so he can get anything he wants, I imagine.
Well, we don't know, really, what the power of supernatural creatures is, but I think these are all very valid questions, Reggie.
Well, yeah, they're valid, but I want them answered. What are you going to do, hang up on me?
Well, we have to move on to another call.
Well, you haven't answered the question.
What was your question, sir?
My question is, how do we protect our kids? First of all, does this guy have a license to cook... there's no license you can get to cook a kid, is there?
Sir, get a hold of yourself.
I got a hold of myself, like you wouldn't believe. Is there a license to cook kid?
There's no license that I know of in the United States or Great Britain to cook kid.
All right, Reggie, we have to move on.
Oh, bullcrap. You guys told...
I'm very, very sorry we had to move on from that caller here. Our number here on the Art Bell Show is 888-888. 888-888 supernatural Easter Bunny creepy stuff. With me is, of course, the great writer Stephen Pike from England Now. Let's go to another phone call. And we have John calling from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. John, go ahead. You're on with Art Bell. How are you?
Hey, Art, I'm doing great. And to your guest, good evening, sir.
Yes, sir. Good evening.
We had a little occurrence here in Wisconsin not too long ago called the hanging man, you heard about it. I called Art last week about it, and it was a man that was seen at night, and he floated just above the treetops, and he had a basket around his neck. Now, this was an apparition, yes. It was, but nonetheless, it scared everyone half out of their wits, and it was a man floating just above the treetops with a basket around his neck like a cigarette, like the cigarette girls used to have.
Yes, sir.
And he's saying cigarettes, cigars, you know, Coca-Cola, popcorn. And I was out there a couple of weeks ago when I first saw him, and I bought a bag of nuts off of him, and I said, what are you doing? And he just went, ooh, like that. Now, Art, you remember talking to me about that?
I seem to remember your call, John. Ordinarily, I don't like to encourage you people that call back over and over and over again because it seems like it's old home week, and I don't want it to appear that I know you or that I like you or hang out with you.
I understand that, but I do call quite frequently and bother you, right?
Yes, all the time. You bother our screener, always trying to get on the air. Yes, sir.
Yeah. All right. So do you remember when I said that this guy, the hanging man, as they call him, if I could ask a question...
Yes, sir.
This is a phenomenon that you see. It's a free-floating apparition. I don't know if it's an apparition. I know he flies, and then he lands if you want something. And you say you bought something from him. I bought a bag of chips or something. I don't know. It was Chips Ahoy.
Were you able to eat the Chips Ahoy?
Well, yeah, but I don't remember. I was more intent on... I just wanted to get him talking. And I said to this guy, I said, do you know about the Easter Bunny or anything else? And he goes, ooh, he started doing the whole ghost thing, you know?
Yes.
Well, my question then would be, if you see him again, can you take a picture of him? I'll try. I don't know if it's going to do any good. I mean, it will do good. And keep in mind that these, whether an apparition or not, they can have... I'm listening to that god-awful music.
Just hold on for just a moment, Stephen.
God, you changed that music.
We'll be right back here, Coast to Coast with Art Bell. And filling in on the Phil Hendry Show right after these messages. Celebrity Voice Impersonated.
You change that dancing, queer, whatever. What
Phil
is it called?
Hendry.
Hey, I'm still here in Wisconsin.
Now, back to Coast with Art Bell. I'm Russ Mitchell, and my voice is giving out.
And this is Coast to Coast with Art Bell. Ross, come on back here for just a moment. Ross Mitchell has been with me for so long. And Ross, you're a wonderful guy. And you just said your voice is giving out? I think just a little bit. And let's just try it again. Play the Dancing Queen. And if we've got Spider Jack in there, Spider, would you just go ahead and play the Dancing Queen? So, yeah. Go ahead.
And now, Coast to Coast, see? I can't do it.
All right, so what happened there is you lost your voice.
Yeah, it comes and goes, and I don't know what to do.
Well, just go ahead and try it.
And now, Coast to Coast with Art Bell. To call Art, it sounds stupid.
All right. Well, we'll certainly just rest your voice. Get yourself a glass of tea or something. I don't know what you announcer types imbibe, but we want you to feel better, Russ, because you are... It's Ross or Russ?
Ross.
Oh, see, your voice is good now.
No, it's not.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
So it's coming. It's going back and forth.
Yeah.
And what is your name, Ross or Russ?
Ross.
It's Ross.
Yeah, Ross.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, well, that's very interesting. Ross is going up and down and back and forth. And with me is Stephen Pike. Have you ever heard anything like that, Stephen?
Well, when you said going up and down and back and forth, I know up and down. I don't know back and forth, if you'll pardon me for saying, but that was quite intriguing, yes.
And we're taking phone calls from you on the Easter Bunny and the plans the Easter Bunny has in this investigative piece of journalism... That has been done by this gentleman, Stephen Pike, that the Easter Bunny is looking to eat your children. Let's go to Mark in San Francisco. Mark, hello, and welcome to Coast to Coast.
Thank you very much. My question for the gentleman is, what database are you drawing your conclusions from, or do you have any kind of database you're working from?
The database at present is...
Because you sound like you're full of crap to me. You're a liar.
Hello? Is the gentleman there? Hello? Well, that's interesting.
All right. The gentleman hung up. I think it's a good question. I don't know why he decided to assault you in that way.
I've come to expect that in America. Americans are not very good at accepting reality. I think they like to think that they have no... that they have no problems. I'm here to tell you, your children will be eaten by the Easter Bunny. And if that doesn't get them up off of their fat cans, I don't know what will. I just don't know.
All right, now, Stephen, I'm led to believe, I'm given to understand, and it is my belief, and it is my conclusion based upon the information that I have, and again, given to understand that General Johnson Jameson has called into the program.
God almighty, Bell, couldn't you have gotten to it faster than that?
Well, I wanted to be sure. General Jameson, who is at present investigating the invisible children phenomenon, which has been rife throughout much of North America, at least it's been rife in his own imagination.
Well, I was going to say, yes, there's no invisible child that's visited me, I can assure you.
General Jameson, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm right here. I was calling to help this gentleman, but if he's going to mock my very... serious efforts. Serious, I'm not trying to mock you, but I've not been... I don't believe that I've been, visited by invisible children. I can tell you that. So you haven't felt... You haven't been... I'm going to tell you. Have you been... Has anybody squeezed or felt anything? Yes, of course. Of course. And you've seen them? No, I've not seen all of them, but I assume it's my wife. I sleep with my wife, sir. You understand that? Yes, I know you sleep with your wife, and so in the middle of the night she reaches over and gives it a squeeze. A lot of wives will. Many women will, just as men, feel a bit gamey in the middle of the night. They'll feel a bit randy, and certainly wish to commence, if you will, a session of a little bit of the old bump-bump. Hey, what? Hey? And I'm sure, have you not had that feeling? Have you not had a woman... No, sir, my wife died several... Hundreds, seems like thousands of years ago, and since my wife has died, I've denied myself to women. I'm sorry to hear that, sir, but it sounds to me as if some of your problems might be, forgive me for saying this, some of your problems might be cured if you'd allow yourself to come to women from time to time. Well, you just keep your British nose out of my life. You understand me? Sir, I was not just keep your British nose out of my life.
All right, now, General Jameson, there's no need to be like that. The good gentleman here, Mr. Pike, is trying to help find the invisible children.
Oh, I know what he wants to do. Now I got it. See, I couldn't figure it out. Now I know. You want the Pulitzer Prize for finding the invisible children and leave me standing in the road with an empty bag, don't you? No, sir. I have no idea about invisible children. I will tell you right now, I think the whole thing is cockamamie. I'm looking for the Easter Bunny. And now I'm here to warn people... Yeah. No, I heard. They're warning people the Easter Bunny is going to eat their children. Man, I've heard it all.
Now, gentlemen, and I would ask General Jameson this question. Isn't there a way the two of you can get together? You have invisible children that are bedeviling you by basically molesting you. And
that's exactly, and a lot of people have said, oh, well, see, that's poetic, that's the poetic justice of it. I don't see any poetic justice at all. I see a fantasy of some kind. Hey. What are you saying? I'm saying that it sounds like some sort of perverted, twisted fantasy that adult men have. Who have these invisible children attacked? They attacked a lady. I had a whole mob of them out in front of my house. Invisible children? No, my neighbors. You had a whole mob of invisible children? No, my neighbors were in front of my house, and one lady had a hand put up her dress. Oh, had a hand put up a dress, did she? And did she identify a hand? No, she didn't, because when she turned around, there was no one there. Then maybe it was a man who had furtively walked away before she had seen him. No. I I reject that.
Well, General Jameson, in the interest of science and objectivity, why would you inject that?
Because she said she... Because I've had a pool cue... Okay, I've had a pool cue shoved up my... You had a pool cue shoved up there? Yes. And I can assure you that it was floating in space.
All right, General Jameson, the pool cue that was jammed where you said it was had no one holding it.
No, it was free-floating in space, and then it went zip right up. Igor, didn't you see that?
Yeah, man! Saw that pool cue go up there like it spit like a javelin.
And Igor, was it just floating?
Yeah, it was a floating pool cue. Then it went right up to General, right up, you know, right up there.
You weren't holding it, were you?
No, man, no one did that.
You see, that's what I'm talking about, Pike. You want to write a real article, Pike, instead of fooling around with the Easter Bunny, you come with me on this invisible children caper, as I can tell you.
Well, this is my point, gentlemen. You have invisible children. You've got an Easter Bunny that's going to eat children that have been bad. It sounds to me as if the invisible children will be eating my Easter Bunny.
Now, hold on for a minute, Belle. First of all, you have to assume that the Easter Bunny can identify an invisible child. I don't know. And secondly, I don't know what...
Right, we'll get another phone call here. Margaret Gray is calling from Los Angeles. She is a freelance journalist, and she's calling the Art Bell Coast to Coast Show. And, Margaret, how are you?
Art, I am doing very well. Thank you so much for filling in for Phil. This is a fascinating topic, and I congratulate both gentlemen for the scholarship, the erudition, and the research that you have put into each of these topics. To you, General Jameson, the invisible children, and to you, Mr. Pike, the Easter Bunny that wants to eat bad children. What exactly does the Easter Bunny call a bad child?
Well, Ms. Gray, I would say the Easter Bunny calls a bad child a child that is recalcitrant, that is rude to his parents.
Does the Easter Bunny consider a child... Come here, some medication. Come on, Mom, don't do it. Get over here. Does the Easter Bunny consider a child bad who referred to his mother as, you're the cow, you eat the broccoli? Do you know of any Easter Bunny that would consider that child to be bad? Yes, you did. Hold on. Do you know of any Easter Bunny that would do that?
Well, I would say that if a child referred to his mother as a cow and said, you're the cow, what was the quote again?
The quote was, Jason, would you like to say what the thing is that you said?
I didn't do anything.
Yes, you did. He said, you're the cow in this family, you eat the broccoli. Now, does the Easter Bunny consider that child to be bad?
I would have to say yes, but I don't know. You understand we're dealing with a phenomenon that I have no control over. It's a dangerous phenomenon. And I think if you're wanting to punish your son, you would have to be aware of the fact this would be a death penalty.
Oh, is it a death penalty? The Easter Bunny will eat people.
14, Mom, I don't... I hear the boy say he's 14.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if the Easter Bunny... In fact, I did... Yes, the Easter Bunny has broken through all age barriers and now will eat any kid under the age of 18 that he thinks is a crawling punk. And,
Well, it sounds to me like you're prejudiced.
Maybe I am. Maybe I am.
Are you prejudiced, Steve?
Yes, maybe I am. Maybe I've got children that don't speak to me anymore. Maybe I've got a son that won't talk to me anymore. Maybe I've got a son that's been in and out of jail. A daughter that's been in and out of jail. Maybe I hope they get eaten by the Easter Bunny. Okay? Maybe that's what I hope.
Well, I'm not prepared for this kind of drama.
Well, maybe you ought to get prepared, Belle. You bring these people on, they don't know what they're going to say. You got this woman talking about her son, calling her a cow. And now you got the kid who's going to be threatened by being eaten by the Easter Bunny. And got this other guy who's... I am disgusted. And I'm... God.
What happened?
One of the invisible kids grabbed my ass.
Well, I've heard it all before. And I will agree with one thing, Mr. Pike. That this guy, General Jameson's getting his cookies.
How dare you?
Well, it sounds like you're getting your cookies on this invisible kid kick.
Yeah, it sounds kind of weird and everything.
You want to tell that brat to shut up? By the way, I have to ask you something.
Hold on for a minute. Did you call my son a brat?
May I say something?
No, hold on. Did you... In 1 minute, Steve. Did you call my son a brat?
Ma'am, I have to...
Did you call my son a brat?
Yes, I did.
That is beyond the pale. I'm the mother. I'll discipline my son.
I have to ask you something, ma'am. That son of yours that said that you were the cow, you eat the broccoli?
Yes.
Can you see him?
Yes, he's standing right here.
Okay. I thought if he was invisible.
No, he's not invisible, you senile.
All right, I'm not talking to that I'm not talking to Daisy there.
It's pretty funny. Ow!
There, I just slapped my son because you're a smartass. How does that feel?
All right. I can't have this, Miss Gray. I can't have you disciplining that child.
You keep out of it, Belle. I just slapped my son because of what you did. How does it feel?
Madam, I was simply trying to...
There, I did it again. Until you apologize, I will keep on hitting him.
I will apologize.
No, not you, Pike. I don't care about you.
Margaret.
And you keep out of it, Belle. I'm talking to Johnson.
All right, I apologize.
Good.
Well, that was absolutely outrageous, gentlemen, and I don't know what to say other than I hope the Easter Bunny eats both of you. I'm Art Bell, and I thank both of you for being with me. Now...
I'm still here. Yeah, me too.
Well, I'd like both of you to leave now. Hang up on them, please. This is the Art Bell Show, Coast to Coast, as we investigate the Easter Bunny...
No, I'm not leaving.
As we investigate the Easter Bunny and Invisible Children with General Johnson Jameson...
That's me.
And Stephen Pike.
That's me.
And we'll be right back here on Coast to Coast with me,
Art Bell.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
With Art Bell sitting in for Phil Hendry.
And welcome back here to the Coast to Coast Show with me, Art Bell. And we have investigated some fascinating topics this evening, although I must say that they have not gone quite the way that I wanted them to go. They didn't go swimmingly. As we did look into the Invisible Children, of course, situation vis-a-vis the Easter Bunny. We're going to be revisiting the topic of sinkholes with Wizard Pink. Dr. Wizard Pink, that'll be next hour, as we commence with the investigation of these sinkholes. My understanding is, and I could be very wrong, my understanding is that Dr. Pink is going to travel down into one of these sinkholes for us this very evening. Stick around for that. But first, this from Peanut Enterprises. Peanut Enterprises now offers you the opportunity to soil yourself and look good doing it. You know, when the end of the world comes, one of the first things you're going to do is lose control of your bowels. But you don't have to be embarrassed by that, no. You can sit there and crap yourself and look good, look even stylish, and it'll be all Peenemann Enterprises' way of introducing you to their new line of fashion for this forthcoming year. We won't tell you how and we won't tell you where, but we will just tell you this. Peenemann Enterprises guarantees you'll smell and look good even as you crap yourself, with the coming of the rapture or the apocalypse, or your money back. That's right, you'll get your money back within 3 weeks, waddling around with all of that in your pants. New from Peanut Enterprises. Well, here on the Coast to Coast Show, while we await the re-arrival of Dr. Wizard Pink, we thought we'd go to some more phone calls and take your views on our question of the night, and that is, when will the leavening occur? That is, the flattening and the leavening of civilizations. You know, I've given my guess. Within the next 14 to 15 months, the leavening, the flattening, and the easing of civilization as we know it will take place. I've just been having this sense, I've had it for quite a long time, that we are on the doorstep of Epic 3. Now, I can't tell you why I feel this way, only that I've had several dreams where I've seen the gonk, and I've seen the lotion people. The gonk and the lotion people, as you know, are harbingers of Epic 3, and they come in striding motion, and they enter the earth through the orifice that is in the side of the Carpathian Mountains, and they exit the earth the same way. And I've had several dreams where I see the gonk standing, hands on its hips, and glaring out over a pink horizon. That is an almost pinkish or rust-colored horizon. What does that bespeak? Naturally, Mars. Where is the gonk from? You and I both know, this is common knowledge and has been for hundreds of years, from the Martian inner world. Not the outer world, but the inner world.
because the gonk is light and heat sensitive. Now, if we can isolate the gonk and the diminutive people that we know as Marquesas, which are named after the islands off of the coast of South America, then we can get some grasp as to when the leavening takes place and the easement. And I will be dealing with all of this in my next book, Art Bell Tells It to You Straight. That's Art Bell Tells It to You Straight, my next book, which will have in it all the information you need to survive the complete destruction of the planet Earth, even to the point where it explodes and becomes nothing more than pebble-sized chunks. How can you survive that? I'll tell you how. With my book, Art Bell explains the whole GD deal to you. We're naming it something different, but I know that that's the name that I like. That's the name that I like. Let's take a phone call, shall we? Hello, you're on the Art Bell Show, and of course we will have next hour Dr. Wizard Pink. This is Teresa. Hello, Teresa. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Hi, do you think that the memory that you have, that I have, a lot of people have it too, because I've talked to a lot of people, but the memory that I have of writing out a cataclysm atop a mountain, and I was on a mountain, do you think that that has something to do with the leavening, the flattening, the yeast?
Teresa, I think it could. If you say you're riding it out on top of a mountain, that sounds to me as if you are indeed on top of a large chunk of rock or boulder, perhaps some kind of an asteroid, meteorite, or some kind of debris from the explosion of the Earth. Does it feel as if you've been riding out a cataclysm of that kind?
I think that I would have to answer your question with this statement. I would say that there is, for me, a sense of release and lightness, even though I am cross-legged. And understand, I'm in a grotto. As these chunks of Earth are flying through space, I'm in a grotto.
And this is your dream?
Yes. This is my dream. This is my nightmare. I saw a snail crawling along the edge of a straight razor. That's my dream. That's my nightmare. To crawl along the edge of a straight razor and survive.
All right. Well, we have to take a break. I'm going to look into that, though, Teresa. I do appreciate you calling. I'm going to look into that and find out if, in fact, we are having these Jungian-style racial memory or racial consciousness events happening the globe over. I want to look into this. How many other people are having these dreams? Are we all beginning to dream about the leavening and the fattening? Are we all now dreaming about the stretching, fattening, and elongation of mankind?
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry. Now, Coast to Coast with Art Bell. To call Art from west of the Rockies, you need to have a telephone. From east of the Rockies, don't bother calling. We'll call you. From south of the Rockies, wait a minute. Are there listeners south of the Rockies? And from north of the Rockies, nice to meet you. And now, here's Art Bell. I'm stuck.
And thank you very much, Ross Mitchell. Great job as usual. And to all of you listening to us across America, North America, around the globe, in the ocean and beyond. Those of you listening to us across the Bermuda Triangle and other places where I don't necessarily want to be on this particular night, or any particular night. Area 51, the Bermuda Triangle, Transylvania, any of these places where there is strange phenomena. Good evening and welcome here to the Art Bell Show. And we are going to investigate Transylvania at some future date. Are there vampires? Is there a castle in Transylvania where Dracula lives? And if so, does he have three brides? And does he live in a box? And all of the things that we've been led to believe? Or is it all a cruel hoax? We're going to investigate that in future days here on Ghost to Ghost. Coming up, we'll have Dr. Wizard Pink and more on the sinkhole phenomena. Where do the sinkholes lead to? And what are the voices that some people have heard coming up from the sinkholes? And what are they saying in conjunction with other visions that people have had? And are we all dreaming the same dream? All of that and more coming up here on Coast to Coast. First, this from P-Man Enterprise. I'm going to go off with P-Man Enterprise commercial really fast and talk like this. And you won't be able to understand what I'm saying, but I'm talking about P-Man Enterprise because of all the really good stuff that they have. P-Man Enterprise has got the sinkholes and chili maker. And they also have problems against about the ass purse. But you can't beat the Pyramid Enterprise and find out things about there. When you find out about slave trade. So go to Pyramid Enterprises. Go there, sit there, wait for them to tell you what to do, and then do it. New from Pyramid Enterprises. And ladies and gentlemen, we are very happy to have back with us. He was with us in the first hour. I wanted to bring him on in the second hour. He did agree to come on in the third hour, but that was back in the first hour when I would much rather have had him on in the second hour. And right now, Dr. Wizard Pink has exhausted from much of the travels that he has been making through space and time. Yes, that's right. Dr. Pink has traveled through space and time and has visited the surface of other planets over the last 3 hours. Dr. Wizard Pink, right now at a Marie Callender's in the San Gabriel area of Los Angeles. And Dr. Pink, a very pleasant good evening and welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Art. I appreciate it.
Dr. Pink, we know that you have been space and time traveling over matter, energy, space, and time. What's it been like?
Well, I've had to do this, Art, in order to get a handle on just exactly who the Khartoumians are. I understand, and I'm pretty close to sensing that they're the ones that have been creating these sinkholes and drawing the energy down from the crust of the earth. You realize, of course, that that's what's going on. Hold on for a minute. Can I get the peach pie? Do you put that whipped cream on it? Keep that. No, I don't want any of that. No, get that out of here. I just want the peach pie. And is it a light, thin crust? Oh, no, I know you're... Well, I'm sorry, Art. I haven't had anything to eat.
I can certainly understand that, Dr. Pink. You have been on quite a sojourn. Over the last 3 hours, when we last left you, you decided to travel the circumference of the globe, mastering space and time and energy and matter in doing so. And what was the purpose of that?
Art, what I was hoping to find was an origination point. That is a portal. And can I get Creamer, too? Creamer? Excuse me, Art. It's been so long. I'm sitting at the counter, in fact. They said, well, we can seat you at the counter. I said, that's good enough for me. I'm so hungry. I apologize.
I understand. Do you want to get your coffee?
Yeah, no, I've got my coffee. Hey, you. Any creamer? Not that little. No, I don't want the stuff that comes in the thing. No, I don't want that. That French vanilla. Give me some real cream, please, huh? Yeah, ha, ha, ha. Very funny. Okay, Art, sorry. I've got a smart-ass busboy here. So what I did, Art, is I decided to lift off and to travel through a portal called the globe, and the globe will take you, and you travel this length of the earth, but you're not seen because you're not in this material realm. You're in an oblong or vertical material realm. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, it's all very complicated, but the point is, you're seeking out a porthole where these this civilization or individuals from the civilization have gotten in.
That is correct, yes. Now, the Khartoumians are from a parallel dimension, but they've somehow breached. They have breached the surface wall of our reality and have entered the back, they've entered through the service area of our reality and are now moving through the kitchen and will eventually come out into a hallway near the elevators.
Now, you're talking about our reality as if it's a banquet hall or something.
Well, in point of fact, it is. The world and the reality that we live in, to the Khartoumians, is like entering a hotel through the rear door where the garbage is. And it angers them. It defends them that they have to come into our reality by way of where their garbage pails are. But that's the way we want it. That's the way the gatekeepers will have it.
And the gatekeepers are who?
The gatekeepers? You haven't heard of them? Get a load of you. The gatekeepers. Come on, Art. Think about it. They're the ones that have set the whole... They've set all of this in motion. They're testing us, you see? They're testing us. Is that all? Hold on for a minute. That's the size of the pie I get. Okay, fine, great. Jesus God almighty. What a small piece of pie. Well, looks like I made a mistake coming in here. I'm sorry, Art.
Are you sure, Dr. Wizard Pink, that you would rather not just sit and have your pie?
No, I want to talk to you, too. I want to talk and eat. I don't have time. I don't have time to fool around. And I sit down here and I order a piece of pie. Boy, that wouldn't feed a bird. I said it wouldn't feed a bird, but you fed me. Hold on for just... I'm so sorry, Art.
That's quite all right. Go ahead.
Hey, waitress, give me a ham sandwich too, will you? Well, that wouldn't feed a bird. I had a piece of pie. No, I understand. It's not your fault, but... Hold the ham sandwich. Give me a big pastrami. How big's the pastrami? Let me see it. Is it lean? Is the pastrami lean? Nah, I don't want that fatty crap. Give me the roast beef. Okay. Give me some pickles with that too, will you? And give me a thing of fries. Big thing of, what do you got, steak fries? Yeah, let me have a side order of that. And I'll take another piece of the, I don't want this pumpkin. What is this called, peach? I don't want this anymore. Don't you have a piece of pie that's bigger than this? Yeah, that's very funny. You know something? I'm on the radio right now. You grabbing your area like that. Yeah, give me that. Yeah, I'll have the apple pie.
Dr. Pink.
I'm sorry. All right, she got it straight. I said, she got anything bigger than this. Guess what she did?
I heard. Dr. Wizard Pink joins us as we talk about the sinkholes. Now, where is the sinkhole 3?
That's located in Legume, Louisiana. I'm on my way there now. I should be arriving shortly. I'm traveling, as I told you, Art. I'm sailing through space and time.
Yes, but I can still hear the restaurant.
Right. Well, no, I'm in the restaurant. That much. Of course I'm in the restaurant, because I got to have something to eat. But the rest of me is flying through space. Believe me. Trust me when I tell you this.
Is it an out-of-body?
Yeah, there you go. It's out-of-body. Bingo. Got it. Good man. All right. Let me tear into this pie, and let me tear into this sandwich. Don't you have a commercial coming up?
We do, Dr. Wizard Pink, and we'll go to our commercial break and then come back to you as you investigate the sinkhole.
Yeah, you do that, okay? And when you come back, we're going to call her back. Yeah.
All right. Dr. Wizard Pink is there, ladies and gentlemen, and is having himself some dinner, a piece of pie, and so forth, but... we will return to Dr. Pink here on Coast to Coast with me, Art Bell, celebrity voice impersonated, filling in on the Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Hey.
The Phil Hendry Show.
More coffee, you're waiting. More coffee. More coffee, yeah.
Phil Hendry Show.
And back here to Coast, Art Bell, filling in on the Phil Hendry program, of course, celebrity voice impersonated. And we have on the line with us, of course, Dr. Wizard Pink. And Dr. Pink is enjoying himself a little bit of dinner this evening. I know it's been a very difficult time for you, Dr. Pink. What with the investigation of these sinkholes, but it's good to know at least you're getting some nourishment.
Well, I'm happy to do it. The guy I'm talking to right now, Art, I know you want to hear about the sinkhole people, and I'm going to be getting into that. I told you the Khartoumians who enter through the globe, that is an orifice that I believe is situated just above the Arapaho Nation. And I don't know where that is. It might be Oklahoma. It could be anywhere, but it's right above. And I think it's there because the Arapaho are clued in and tied in with a great many deities and beings in the well gone. And that's the term we use in Khartoumianese, that the well gone or way out, that's the area of space that is beyond. But hold on for a minute. Now tell me about it again.
They got the dry rub to use at Santa Maria tri-tip.
Oh, man. I'm talking to a young man here about barbecue, and I'm getting even hungrier here.
I understand, Dr. Pink, but we still have to get to the sinkhole.
Yes, yes, the sinkhole. Must get to the sinkhole. All right, hovering over the sinkhole at this moment,
and I'm looking down. Oh, that looks really bad down there.
Are you? You're still eating, right?
Yeah, yeah. Hold on for a minute. Give me those pickles, too, huh? Want some pickles?
Don't mind if I do.
Yeah, they're great. All right, what do you want?
Dr. Pink, are you hovering over the sinkhole where the Khartoumian people have come in from the extra-dimensional...
I'm looking it up and down. It's looking... Yeah, it's bad. Tell you what, let me float down here.
And yet you're still in the restaurant.
Well, I said, it's out of body. My body's in the restaurant. And what do you want? The barbecue sauce? What do you like? You like that? This has got the vinegar. And hold on. I'm sorry, all right?
Dr. Pink, I'm going to have to hang the phone up if we can't get to the point of this discussion, which is the sinkhole. Okay?
Yeah, the sinkhole. All right. So there's a sinkhole down here. And what I want to do is... I'm sorry. Now I remember. I want to go down to the sinkhole and see if I can hear the Khartoumians. Let me just listen in very carefully and see what I hear. Yep, they just ate. Now, I really feel...
All right, I don't know quite what's going on, but I'm hopeful that Dr. Pink is able to find his way out of that labyrinth of mirth and idiocy and back to the job at hand, which, of course, is to find the people that inhabit these sinkholes. Now, this is Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast. When I heard the belch, that's what put it away for me. That's what finally stopped it in its tracks and told me I've got to put it to bed. Let's go to some phone calls, shall we? I think this will be the most opportune time to do that. And again, we are asking for your predictions on when you feel the leavening and the full movement will take place. As you know, here on Coast to Coast with Art Bell, I have predicted that the Earth itself will begin a twisting and fidgeting on its axis that will culminate in the movement, which, of course, will follow the leavening. The movement itself will be fast. It will involve hundreds of billions of metric tons, and lots of people will be involved in making it happen, some of whom are currently unemployed. And let's go now to Randy. Randy, hi. You're on Coast to Coast with Art Bell. Randy, how are you?
Hi, Art. I just want to let you know I like your program.
Thank you, Randy.
And I wondered if you'd read a book by Melissa Behring called Shapes and Attitudes, and it came out last year on the Travel Network. It was a book, but it came out on the Travel Network on television.
It was a book, but it came out... You mean it was rendered as a TV program?
No, they tried to publish it on a television set. And it didn't sell very well, and I'm wondering if you'd read it, because it apparently is about... it's about our ability, or some scientists have been working in the United States government, of which I had been a part of, Art, for a number of years. I worked with the Patent Office. So I know that... our government lies to us all the time on a regular basis. There's not one true thing that the government says. Nothing they say that you can trust at all. Nothing at all. And and starting from that premise...
But let me ask you a question. I was just on a government website the other day, and it said to me that Abraham Lincoln had been a president. Do you believe that?
It was on a government website?
Yes, it was. It was on the U.S. Gov website of the presidents. It said that Abraham Lincoln had been a president.
Well, then I wouldn't trust it.
Well, do you believe that Abraham Lincoln had been a president?
If the government says that Abraham Lincoln had been a president, no, I don't.
All right, so you don't think that the Spielberg film is accurate?
I didn't see the Spielberg film. I don't watch propaganda. I didn't see it. I don't watch it. I don't want to know about it. No, no, no.
All right, tell me about this book.
Well, the book is called Shapes and Attitudes, and it was published on television, and I haven't read it yet, and I wondered if you had.
No, I have not read it.
Okay. Can you let your audience know if anyone does read it?
Well, let me ask you, if I could, sir, I don't understand the concept of it being published on television.
Well, it was there on television, and they said that... It was available on TV, and I went to bookstores and I didn't even bother looking for it because they said it was a TV offer only.
Well, sir, that simply means they're offering the book through television.
Right.
But you can still read it. It's a physical book that they'll deliver to you.
Well, I don't buy that. There's something wrong with that.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what is wrong, sir, is your understanding of what a TV offer is. When it's a TV offer, it means that it's a specific offer through the TV. Perhaps they're giving you a discount.
Art, let me ask you, I don't mean to interrupt you, when did you get co-opted by the government? Because it sounds like you're a mouthpiece.
I'm a mouthpiece for what, sir?
Oh, you're telling me this gobbledygook. I'm telling you the book was being offered on it was published on the TV.
Yes, sir, you said it was a TV offer.
Yes. You know, Art, when did you start drinking the Kool-Aid, you ass?
I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. That gentleman obviously had no idea what it was he was talking about. And I do know what I'm talking about, and that is a TV offer means that they are discounting the book somehow and selling it that way over the television, or perhaps they're only selling it by way of the television, but that doesn't mean there isn't a book that's involved. And that brings me to our commercial for Peenemann Enterprises. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to read books, then you are wasting your time and you're wasting your energy. Why read a book when you can feel a book, when you can eat a book, when you can consume a book? That's right, new from Peenemann Enterprises. All right, now getting back to what this gentleman was saying about the books. If you're buying a book, oh, what the hell, that doesn't make any difference to me. Peenemann Enterprises now has floating chairs for your swimming pool. Now, these are floating chairs you can sit in and you can ride in. You can even drive them. They are amphibious. And, of course, when the world does come to an end, they provide a wonderful means of shelter, a floating bomb shelter, new from Peenemann Enterprises. Coming up in this next half hour, we will again talk to General Johnson Jameson as he continues his investigation of the invisible children. And we'll find out whether or not these children can be eaten by the Easter Bunny, who has now embarked on a new and very destructive path. And that is, if your child is bad, the Easter Bunny will cook and eat your child. But I find that to be something that might be very beneficial for parents who are trying to control out-of-control psychopathic children. I'm Art Bell. We'll be right back here on Coast to Coast, right after these messages. Let me watch the first name.
You're drinking the Kool-Aid. Both Kool-Aid and... Flavor-Aid.
Phil Hendry.
And welcome back here to Coast with me, Art Bell. And, of course, we're filling in for Phil Hendry, and I want everyone to know that. I don't want the evening to go by without without letting you know that absolutely we are filling in here for Phil Hendry, and he will be back very, very shortly, I'm sure. But as we fill in for Phil Hendry, of course, we do the Art Bell Coast to Coast show, and I asked Phil if we could fill in for him because I wanted to do the Art Bell Coast to Coast show while I'm filling in for Phil Hendry. Now, we have a number of things that we've been covering here this evening, and we are also taking your phone calls here to the Art Bell show of Coast to Coast, filling in for Phil Hendry. We've had a number of people calling with sightings. We've had a number of people calling asking about a variety of issues, certainly Dr. Wizard Pink, and his investigation of the invisible children has been most fascinating. We're going to go over now to Dr. Jeff Dowder, who is Professor Jeff Dowder, Professor of Mechanical Physics at the University of Southern California. And Professor Dowder is on the line with us from Mint Canyon, California. Professor Dowder, so good of you to be with us, and so good of you to take your time from, I'm sure, what is a very busy evening of research and so forth to talk with us.
It's all right, Art, and I'm very happy to do it. And I wanted to, first of all, hold on, just hold that, man. I wanted to, first of all, I wanted to say how very sorry I am, Art, that, you know, I mean, has anything bad happened or anything like that?
Has anything bad happened? No, nothing bad has happened.
Oh, I want to say how very sorry I was about whatever bad thing happened, but... I want to let you know, Art, and I want to let you know and your audience know that here at Mint Canyon, I'm out with Toby Bowe, and who is a friend of mine that is teaching right now. He's teaching a couple of subjects over at L.A. Canyon College, but we saw it, and it's clear. It couldn't be clearer. We did see it.
And what did you see, Jeff?
Well, we saw what appeared to me. It would appear to be a vehicle that could probably... All right. Would appear to be a vehicle that could carry a rabbit, what do you call an anthropomorphized rabbit. Okay? Because you were just talking to the dude. Weren't you just talking to the dude about it?
Well, we were talking, Jeff, to General Johnson Jameson.
Yeah, that guy. And he talked about the Easter Bunny's going to eat kids. Well, I just saw, I mean, if we're talking about the Cartoonians, you know, which was what Dr. Wizard Pink was talking about with the sinkhole.
Well, Dr. Wizard Pink was talking about the sinkhole. The invisible children were being spoken of by General Johnson Jameson. The Easter Bunny was also being spoken of by General Wizard Dr. Pink.
Yeah, right. So General Wizard Dr. Pink.
I forget.
Well, in any event, I saw what could very well be. Can you turn off that flute music? Because
I'm sorry.
Would you turn off the flute music?
The flute music.
Yeah, I'm listening to a flute. I don't know if it's me or if the flute, but a flute is the flute's blowing me away, man. And the flute's blowing me away. In any way you can shut it down?
If you're talking about our background music, that's part of the production element here on Coast to Coast, Jeff. I'd be very, very remiss, I think, if I wasn't playing the flute music.
All right, well, okay, but it was the flute was blowing me away. Anyway, we did see something streak from left to right. That'd be from my left to your right, but it was my left to your right, so that...
What would that be?
It would be my right to my left, but it was from your left to my right. And Toby, wasn't that from your left to his right? Okay. Yeah, Toby, here. You got to keep it lit, man. God, pisses me off. From my left to his left.
And what did you see?
Well, we saw a streaking motion of some kind, because we're in Mint Canyon right now. You ever been out of Mint Canyon? You've been down here?
I don't think I've been to Mint Canyon, no.
It's pretty sweet. And there's, there's cubby holes and different cabin areas that you can go and just you know, get toasted and, you know, nobody's going to bother you or anything. But, so, you like that match for me? God, man. Hold on for a minute, Art. Okay, Art? Hey, Art.
I'm holding on, Jeff Dowder.
Yeah, hold on for just a minute. Yeah. Okay. So, it was streaking, and when he talked about the Cartoomians, that's what put me in mind of it.
Have you noticed any invisible children? Anything that we've been talking about tonight?
I did not notice no invisible children. I did have a sense that there was something small, and it was, you know, circling me. And then I realized it was Toby's kid sister who'd come up here to drop off his lunch for tomorrow.
Well, you say Toby's kid sister. How old is she?
Well, she's 19.
I see. But she was small?
Yeah, she's 5'2". And she's got eyes of blue or what. You're not supposed to. I mean, you know what I'm saying. So, I know, Toby. Hold on. So she was circling me, and I thought, I'm sensing something that's small. And then I looked down, and I said, oh, yeah, it's Toby's sister.
All right, so in other words, none of the... why am I hearing squirrels and chipmunks?
Well, we're out in Mint Canyon. Are you kidding? If you're not going to hear a squirrel or chipmunk out here, you're not living, man. So...
all right, Jeff Dowder, I appreciate it very much, but I don't think that that much of what you had to say has any value at all. But I do appreciate it, and I thank you very much, and have a very pleasant tomorrow. All right, so, ladies and gentlemen...
all right, I'm still here, man. I just shut down the squirrel. The squirrel sound. You didn't like that, right?
No, I'm going to hang up on you. Thank you.
Okay, man.
That was Professor Jeff Dowder as we talk here on Coast to Coast about the possibility that he saw or that he was tracking in a left-to-right fashion, in an oblong or oblique fashion. He was tracking what he thought was a vehicle that could accommodate some anthropomorphized rabbit. The understanding, of course, being that the Easter Bunny is carnivorous and will commit murder. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't believe for one moment that the Easter Bunny would harm a child. However, I do believe that the source material that I have, including the individuals that I've been hearing from tonight who are corroborating and who are collating this information, Dr. Wizard Pink, General Johnson Jameson, and a variety of other sources, makes this something that we need to pay attention to very, very carefully. Now, let me get on the phone here. A wonderful man, a man who has meant so much to all of us here on the Coast to Coast program, Richter Peace. And Richter is a man who has invented one of the very first extra-dimensional vehicles, one that can travel between our space-time continuum to another. Richard, and people call you Richard, do they not?
Well, they call me Richard, they call me Rickard, they call me Rickard, but you can call me Richard. I've been called Rickard, Rookin, Rackham, and Rackham. When I played billiards, they called me Rackham, too. And
They called you Rackham, too?
No, they called me Rackham when I played billiards, but you can call me anything that you want. I mean, we've meant so much to each other over the years.
We certainly have, Rickard, and I call you Richard because that's your given name. How did you get the name Rickard?
Well, Rickard was that's my given name. Richard is the Anglification of it. So that was how that came about. Now, my parents are originally from Germany, and they have the old world names, but Rickard and Richard I equally go between the two.
Tell me about your extra-dimensional vehicle. What do you call it?
What I call it, and it will travel at speeds anywhere from... It can travel at a -5...
No, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Rickard. What is it called?
What I call it.
What I call it. It's like the Abbott and Costello, who's on first.
I don't know. I'm not familiar with that. But what I call it is because of the fact that the engine was created by the Call family. And then there was One-Eye Jones, who is certainly very, very pivotal. And I wanted to name it after One-Eye Call. And people thought I was saying What I Call, and it was actually One Eye and Call, the Call family.
Oh, all right. So you named part of it after One Eye Jones and the other part after the Call family.
the Cole family developed the drivetrain for this. And One Eye, of course, worked on a computer.
One Eye Call.
That's called What I Called.
Okay, and so tell me in experimentation, I should say in the tests, how is it done?
Well, there's no question, Art, that we are able now to transfer ourselves between dimensions. I have been there and I've seen it. I've seen everything there is to see. I've made notations. I've told them we'll be back. They were not surprised. I will underline they were not surprised to see us. I did not exit the vehicle. I simply sat and looked. I was wearing sunglasses because I did not want to be recognized. One of the things that you don't want to do, even if you're traveling extra-dimensionally, is to be recognized by anyone, lest you now imprint, and we did not want to imprint this trip out.
What are you looking for?
Well, right now we're going to try to help with the invisibility of the children. We're also looking into the Easter Bunny and where he might have derived the gall. Really, that's what we think it is. We don't think it's any extra powers he has. Where he got the gall and where he got the pear big enough to say, I'm going to travel interdenominationally and dimensionally and eat children on the other side of the flagstaff. That's what they call it over there. It's the flagpole, or it's the lining. And they want to go through the lining, eat our kids, and then go back. The Easter Bunny is just the tip of the iceberg. And I don't think that, I would not take this very lightly. I'll tell you that now.
Well, you're starting to scare me a little bit here, Rickard. You're saying that this is not just the Easter Bunny; these are other extra-dimensional creatures.
Exactly. Let me show you. I'm going to do a very quick. This is called a bust through, and it's going to be very, very quick. So watch out. I'm sitting in a vehicle now, and this is going to. It's a bust through, meaning that I'm going to travel into the other dimension very quickly, and then very rapidly take myself back. 3, 2, 1. Hi there. I've got to get out. Okay, I'm back.
I heard you say hi there.
That wasn't me.
So you left this dimension.
I left the dimension and I went through the lining and I went through the panty liner. And the voice you heard was the vibration of that dimension. It was not any individual, it was the vibration.
The vibration of that dimension said, hi there.
If that's what you heard, I didn't hear anything. What happens to me is it becomes white, just a white space. I'm in a white shell, and all I can see is white, and all I hear is nothing, and all I smell is, it's almost like marshmallows, but it's not quite that.
Well, I can tell you that when you went through the membrane, is that what you call it?
We call it the panty liner, the membrane.
The panty liner, why do you call it that?
It's never mind, you know. Just next question.
All right. Well, I can see that it's still top secret what you're doing.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
All right. Well, Rickard, thank you so much for being with us, and Mazel Tov, and more power to you, and
Godspeed.
Godspeed. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's go. Hi there. Get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here. Oh, man. Whew. Woo!
That is fascinating. That was Rickard Jones, one of the great friend of this show, as he traveled through the membrane or panty liner between this dimension and the other dimension, whichever one that is. This is Art Bell, and we'll return with more of the final closing moments here on Coast to Coast with me, Art Bell, filling in for Phil Hendry, celebrity voice impersonator.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This has been quite an evening and quite an experience. Filling in for Phil Hendry here on Coast to Coast, filling in for the Phil Hendry Show, the Coast to Coast Show, filling in for Phil Hendry. And I thought that I would try something because one of the things that I love to do is, a lot of you probably don't know this, I love to do comedy, and I haven't really had that much of an opportunity to do comedy.
And so what I thought I would do this evening, before we leave the airways, I wanted to give you a little taste of, since you haven't had the Phil Henry Show this evening, I wanted to give you a little taste of my take on doing the Phil Henry Show. Now, I have had experience before doing this. I actually demonstrated this for people some years ago. But I'm a great admirer of Phil's work, and I would like to give my impression of Phil doing his show. And I think that when you put a little bit of work into it, and it is difficult, but if you put some work and effort into it, you can create these different voices and so on and so forth. So why don't we have a little bit of fun here? And Mookie Johnson, Tiger Spencer, along with One-Eye Wilson, all of my people are in the studio there. Let's have a little bit of fun, and let's take some, quote, phone calls, end quote, here on Coast to Coast with Art Bell. And let's go to our first call, and this is, John. Hello, John. You're on with Art Bell. How are you?
I'm fine, Art. How are you doing?
I'm very good. What did you want to talk about?
Well, Art, I'm having a wonderful time tonight talking about, I'd like to talk to you about the invisible children.
All right, John. What do you want to say?
Well, I believe that I've probably encountered an invisible child.
Well, really? And see how I just interrupted him? That's something I've have to learn and get better at. But other than that, so anyway, John, go ahead.
Right. What I was going to say, Art, was that I believe that I've encountered one of those invisible children, and it talks, or she talks, I should say, because I was talking to her.
You were talking to one of the... What does she sound like?
Well, she's right here. Her name is Kathy. Kathy, say hello to Art Bell. Hello, Art.
Hi, Kathy. How old are you?
I'm 4.
You're 4 years old, and Kathy, are you invisible?
Yes, I am.
And John, how did you first know that Kathy was in the room?
Well, I felt a hand on my, on my ass. Now, Kathy's not a perv, and I'm the adult, but Kathy, why did you touch my ass? Well, because I wanted to have some fun and make you think you were losing your mind. And was I acting as if I was losing my mind? Yes, I was.
Well, now, hold on. I'll do the interviewing, okay?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Is this Kathy?
No, this is John.
All right. John,
No, this is Kathy.
All right. Let me go to another call because I've got Mary. Mary, how are you?
I'm very good. Hi, Kathy. Hi, Mary. Hello, John. Hi, Mary. No, this is Kathy.
All right. Kathy is who?
Me.
And who's John?
Me.
And who's Art? Me. Now, Kathy.
Yes.
Are you the 4-year-old?
No, I'm Mary.
Are you 4 years old?
No, I'm Kathy.
Who's 4 years old?
I am.
Who are you?
John.
All right. Well, you see, ladies and gentlemen, it's not as difficult as you might think to do what Phil Henry does. Now, let me get another phone call here. This will be a lot of fun. I'm now going to do 4 different voices. And what is your name?
Professor Jones.
And Professor Jones, meet John.
Hi, John. Hi, Professor Jones.
And Kathy.
Hi, hi.
And Mary.
Hi, 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 hi.
Those are all 5 of them saying hi to each other. Professor Jones, what do you do for a living?
I'm a professor.
All right. And who would you like to talk to?
Well, I'd like to take exception to some of the things that I heard John say. He was talking about an invisible little girl. Which one of you is the invisible little girl?
I am.
You mean it's you, Art?
No, I'm just fooling around. It's Kathy.
No, it isn't. It's Mary.
I'm sorry. I thought it was Mary.
It's Kathy. I'm only fooling.
All right. Is that Professor Jones?
No, this is John. Once again, you've blown it. You've butchered it alive. If this bit were a child, as much as you think you're doing a great job, if this bit were a child, you would be barbecuing it right now.
Thank you very much, John.
Professor Jones.
Kathy?
Nope, Mary. Woo! Boy, you really... It's bad.
Well, and that's me giving myself crap. So you see, folks, while it is difficult, it can be done. Well, this evening's program, of course, from the high desert. And we wish all of you a very, very pleasant, pleasant good evening. And make sure that you keep the windows open, keep your eye on the sky, and keep your eye on this guy, and keep your eye on all of this. All of this magnificence. I wish you could see what I'm pointing at right now.
This has been Coast to Coast with Art Bell. Actually, this voice has been performed by Bill Henry. Celebrity voice, in other words, impersonated. Coast to Coast with Art Bell. I'm not Ross Mitchell.
And what I'm pointing at right now, what do you think, Ross?
Coast to Coast.
Phil Henry.